Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You've just listened to our national anthem. This is your brother, Elohim. We're here again on Sunday evening, trying to bring you just a little bit of sanity to all the madness that's going on. As usual, the first thing we do is we always talk about the... We always talk about love. We spend 5 minutes on love, and then we go through a whole segment. You know, today's topic of today is can rioting end police brutality? All right. First, we'd like to give an assertion before we start the show. As I walk the path of being honest and good, I will keep my mind focused on reap what you sow. By doing this, I will be walking the path of the enlightened, and I will get what I want. Well, let me just take a second to explain that. Once you realize who you are, okay, you assert what you want into the universe, and the universe, through action or action, will bring it back to you. You can get whatever you want. And knock, and the door will be open. All you got to do is knock, and you can get what you want. But you got to know who you're asking. Okay. Our slogan is, love is to act and make others feel good. Through one aim, one destiny. We need to have a single aim, a single purpose. And that single aim, that single purpose will bring about our destiny and what we're actually supposed to do and supposed to be, okay? Now, love is to act to make others feel good. Now, the 1%, the way they give you love on the movies and on television, excuse me, on the movies and on television, it's kind of not what love is. This is why we're having so much trouble in relationships. We can't get along in groups. We submit to the teachings of hate so easily, you know. And every group has their particular, excuse me again, I don't know what's all this about. Every group has their particular brand of hate, you know. What took me out was I'm watching YouTube or television, and the monk come on talking about, we don't want Muslims here in our country. You know what I mean? And this guy supposed to be following the teachings of Buddha. You know, Buddha was nowhere near like that, you know. He had a very strong loving philosophy, philosophy of inclusion. So how did the teachings of Buddha get into this mind of this guy where he can even make a statement like that? You know what I'm saying? Something's wrong with this picture, you know. When Prophet Muhammad came, right, they asked him to come to Medina because the tribes were fighting each other. He went to Medina to stop the tribal fighting and unite the Arabs over there. That was his mission. And now they're over there fighting each other like crazy. What happened to his teaching? Who got in there and started this madness? And here comes Jesus the Christ. He comes through talking about love one another, turn the other cheek and all that. And they took his name, slapped it on the religion, and start killing and murdering and putting people into slavery, taking people's land, and they ain't stopped yet. They're still doing the same thing right now. I'm saying the guys that came, you know, I mean, Hare Krishna, if you read the Bhagavad Gita, if you read all these books, you know, none of them teach what their students are doing today. You know what I mean? Even Madame Blavatsky had a totally different teaching than what their students are doing today. Although Madame Blavatsky's students are not that bad. You know, if you've ever been to the Theosophical Organization and spent some time with them, they're pretty nice people, you know, for the most part, you know. But something happens with the term love, okay? And most slave masters, that's what a leader is, okay? Anybody, well, I shouldn't say that's what a leader is. All of us should be leaders, but we should be leaders of ourselves. We should not be inclined to lead other people. When President Haynes and them set this whole thing up, the system was designed so that when we elected the people, we understood that the people weren't our actual leaders, all right? They were taking their marching orders from the people, and they would give the people what they want. That's how the system was designed. The government is supposed to be working for the people. That's when your people, well, that's when it was set up by President Haynes and them. Now, here comes the thief, the slave master, the murderer, the killer, his name was George Washington, his crew, stole everything and became traitors to Britain, went to France. Ah, it was a mess, you know? And they changed the whole thing around. They had, I can't say they had because, they ruled it for 33 years. Talking about George Washington and the crew. They ruled for 33 years before they lost their independence. Hello, I'm going to say that again. Before they lost their independence, all right? Now, what happened to the loving attitude of President Haynes and them and the Moors and all them when they set all this here up? it just went away. And George Washington set the stage for it to go away. And when Britain took over, right? That's right. When the Queen took over, because this is a colony of Britain, for you who don't know, check your history. All you got to do is look up and check, go Google who burned down the White House and the government buildings, okay? You don't win a war and then your enemy come over and burn your stuff down. It just don't work that way, okay? They lost, Britain wanted to show them example, and came over and burned everything down. But Britain realized from the White Ages, what they call the Dark Ages, but weren't no dark people around, so I call it the White Ages, that you can't separate from people. The best thing to do is to control. So what Britain did was put things in place to control the people, okay, and but not separate from the people. You know, it's kind of interesting how they did it. The Queen is smart. You got to give the family credit because they're really, really smart. General Electric was weapons. They was making weapons for the country. I mean, they had control over the banks. If you notice, all of the major banks, their primary business is set up in England. Come on, come on, all these big banks, you know. So the Queen controlled money. And what the crooks say, don't care who run the country, let me know who controls the money. And so that's what she did. So she's they're controlling the country by controlling the money. And so so I don't know how what this has to do with love, but that's what I want to add here. I guess it's been a long day. But relating this back to love and how we got off track. How we got off the loving messages that was coming from President Haines and them. It was stolen. It was taken. Okay, that's how it got off track, the way I just got off track. You know what I'm saying? But when you love somebody, all right, enslave them, okay? You don't make indentured servants out of them. You don't keep them in poverty. Now, you're going to always have poor people with you. That's what the Bible says, and I understand that. And the Bible tells you how to destroy the poor. Poverty is the destruction of the poor. And how can you love somebody and see them sleeping in the street with no food, nowhere to go, nothing to eat? It just don't work that way. You know, that's not love. See what I'm saying? That slave master is trying to control you, calling themselves leaders. We really don't need leaders. We need followers up there, people who want to follow the people, because the people know what they want. And we have to be mindful of that, too, because the hate groups are out there, too. And that's what's happening right now. We have a hate group that's seemingly controlling the country, all right? I'm talking about the little Tea Party and the Klan. I know what I'm talking about here. And when hate rises to the top, things get really, really crazy, okay? But just remember what I'm saying to you, that love is an act that makes others feel good. So if you're doing something that's not making the other person feel good, that's not love. You know what I mean? If you're stalking somebody and they tell you, man, I don't want you. Look, honey, I'm sorry, sister. You know, you ain't my type. Leave the person alone. There's millions of men, millions of women out here. There's somebody out here that will accept you for who and what you are. But when you meet that person, you have to be who and what you are. Most of the time when we get into a relationship, the first time you meet the person, that ain't the real person. They putting on air, they're acting all nice. Oh, yes, well, I'm not too hungry or... I mean, they're putting on airs because they're trying to win you over. They want to show you the nice side. Then, as you get to know them a little bit, the demanding side comes up. You know, well, I don't like this. This is what I want. I don't. If that side comes up, then the grumpy side comes up. You know, well, you don't give me what I want. You know what I mean? Because they don't know what love is. See, if they knew what love was, or if they knew what love is, then they would give you themselves right from the beginning, so that you make a good choice whether you really want to walk the journey with them or not, you know. So my advice to everybody, right, is to learn how to love each other. Now, You got the physical love, right, which is actions. Watch what they do. Check out what they do. If they're doing something that they like, right, then that's what they like. Don't try to give them something that they don't like, and they're showing you every day, this is what I like, that's why I'm doing this, you know. If it's contrary to what you like and what you are, then you sit down and you talk about it, you know. Come to some kind of compromise. If I'm saying, well, look, honey, you're drinking too much, and that don't make me feel good seeing you coming here drunk. So you have to do something about this liquor problem that you have, you know. I'll help you out if you want, you know. And if they love you, if they're practicing the art of love, then they'll curtail that. They'll say, well, okay, well, I might not can stop drinking, but I'll get it down to a point where I don't just get stupefied. You know, I won't just get drunk and, or they'll just stop. Depends on how much they know about love and how much they want to love you. You know what I'm saying? A person's gambling, you say, look, honey, look, sister, you can't be going to the casino. We can't afford it. You know what I mean? But then it's just bad for you. You spend so much time in the casino gambling all the time, you know. So then it's a game we come in, but a compromise. If she loves you, if she's practicing the art of love, right, then you come up with some kind of compromise, you know. And that's what makes the world go round. That's what makes love work. When you know what love is, love works, okay? Now, I went a little further here than I wanted to. Now, here's the question for today, all right? I didn't set this up as a lecture series. I set this up so that you can join in if you want, you know. If you do want to join in, all you have to do is press 1 on your dial, and it will let me know that you have your hand up, and then we can discuss this back and forth as to what we need to talk about, okay? The question on the board is... is writing the best solution for police brutality? Now, that's an interesting question. I don't see no hands up. you're on the line here, but there's no hands up. So I'm going to just go ahead and dialogue, right? And when you feel as though you want to say something or you have something to say, just press 1, and I'll let you in right away so that we can get into a dialogue. And just remember, there's no dumb questions. Anything that you ask, somebody was thinking that before you. They just didn't ask it, okay? Now, so let's deal with the question. I'm just going to leave that up for a minute. Is rioting the best solution for police brutality, okay? Let me go to question number 2. Did the black community get justice after the riot in the 60s? Now, think about that. If we got real justice, why are we rioting now? What's going on that we didn't get justice or perceived justice so that the problems that we're having with the popo, right, we're still having, okay? Now, the problem is, all right, the atmosphere that comes from the leadership. That's number 1. All right. If you got a racist person at the helm and racist people controlling the country, the atmosphere of the country changes. Okay. Even though a lot of presidents was crooks, the atmosphere didn't lead to rioting. Now, how you have a man being brutally murdered by police, right? And then the head of the country comes on and say, we need justice. We need justice for the cop who just murdered somebody. You know, that fuels the attitude of the people and make them want to do something. They don't want to get some kind of justice. But if you think about it, burning the city down, it's not going to get you justice, right? The problem with justice is that you have to know how to get it. And this is what's going on. We don't know how to get it. One reason why we don't know how to get it is that we don't know who we are. Now, if you think about it, when I ask the question, did the black community get justice after the riot in the 60s? You have to understand, when you're dealing with law, there are no black people in this country. They're United States citizens. And the laws that are on the books are for the United States citizen. And if you're considering yourself, right, as a United States citizen, most people do, even though that's a corporate entity. That's a whole other lecture. We ain't gonna get into that right now. But most people consider themselves citizens of the United States. So if you're a citizen of the United States, then you're under the jurisdiction, all right, of the rules of the country. And the justice that's supposed to be handed out to you is supposed to be given to you automatically. But you have racist people in positions to circumvent justice. And that's what's going on right now. You have, if we go to court, okay, the law states that you can get from 1 to 10 years for this crime. Now, if you got a racist guy as a judge, he'll give his people 1 year and give you 10 years, which is within his preview. Now, the law is set up so because they know how they are, and they know you can't always get justice from the judge that you're going before. So that's why they have the appeals process set up, okay? Now, the best way to stop, okay, the atmosphere that lead to police brutality is to realize one thing. This is your country, right? I'm not talking like a black man or whatever, but this is your country. There's a lot of reasons why this is your country. But if you're a United States citizen, then you're given the rights of a United States citizen. And that's how law works. When they pass a law, they do not pass a law for Italians, for Germans. They pass statutes, and they do little crazy things like what they did to the Japanese during the Second World War. They put them in internment camps, okay, which was against the law because these people were United States citizens and they were supposed to be treated as such. But the judges, right, who were in charge at the time, right, had one thing on their mind. You know, we need a scapegoat. We need an enemy here. So they made some United States citizens out to be the enemy, although it was against the law, violating their constitutional rights. And they sued later on and got paid because they broke the law of the United States citizens. So they didn't go to court talking about, well, we Japanese and we supposed to be something. No, they went to court as United States citizens. That's how they got paid. So this black and white and all that, we have to come out of that type of mindset and just remember that we're all United States citizens and we have a right under the law, right? Now, they have a thing called a color of the law. That's a whole number lecture, too. But we have a right under the law to do certain things and exercise certain things. You follow what I'm saying? Now, if you have a system where the judges don't punish the law enforcers for breaking the law, okay, then you have a problem. But you have to remember, locally, this is where the problem is not happening nationally, they're happening locally. You understanding that this is your country, all right? Understanding that this is your country, you're supposed to be running this thing. You're supposed to be leading yourself into a position of where the people are taking back the power from these so-called slave masters who call themselves leaders. They think they're supposed to be leading you, but it's the other way around. The people, and a majority of the people, are supposed to be leading the leaders, or so-called leaders, all right? That's why we vote to put them in office. And one thing that we have to do as United States citizens, we have to make them pay the price. We have to make them pay the price when they do something silly. And see, and then the sheriff's department is supposed to step in. What the people didn't realize, when the cops had their foot on that man's neck, they were supposed to call the sheriff's department. And the sheriff's department is supposed to come in and stop the madness, because what the people don't understand is that the cops don't have the only legality they have, right, when they lock you up, is the pistol they got on their side. They got arms and armament. What they're making is a citizen's arrest. As a citizen, you can lock them up. That's what the people don't know. You can roll right up to the cop and say, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be held against you in a court of law. Because as a citizen, you can lock up another citizen if the citizen's doing something wrong. But the people don't know that. But the karate guy who was staying there said, I sure wanted to jump in. But he didn't know he had just as much right to lock them up as they did to lock the guy up that was on the ground. We don't know the rules. And we have to learn the rules. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I know it's kind of tricky because you're going to mess with them. They got the weapons. That's the difference between them and you. They're armed and you're not. But you have the right to be armed. That's what I'm getting at. You have just as much right to carry a weapon as they do. They're citizens. They're corporate police, okay? Hired by a corporation, appointed by the judge who's in charge of a corporation called whatever the city's name is, so City of Philadelphia, it's a corporation, okay? And the only person that legally has the right to lock you up is the sheriff. Why the sheriff? Because you vote for the sheriff. You understand what I'm saying? The sheriff is somebody you vote in the office. So you have you've given the sheriff permission to arrest you, all right, to evict you out your house or whatever you're supposed to be doing. They're literally limiting the sheriff's power, you know, by what they're doing. But because the people don't really know how law works, they don't know how this thing actually works. And if you're going to run or be in charge of a country, you have to learn the rules. You have to know the rules. We ride it in the 60s. Here we are in 2020. We're riding again. You know, how long are we going to keep riding? You know, when we going to take charge of this thing? It's like Roosevelt said one time. He said, "You have a black rider sitting on a white horse, and he sleeps." Okay, now. He said, once he wake up and take the reins, you know, we don't have hell to pay. I understand? That's what they're afraid of. That's what the whole thing about Trump being in office, because they was afraid that you were going to take the reins and ask for justice. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, do they want to give you justice, because they have a lot to pay for. Not just here in this country, but all over the world. They're killing, murdering, stealing, taking people's stuff all over the world, you know? And somebody asked me, if you was president, would you increase defense spending? I would say, yeah, I'd double it. Because once I take over, I realize all the people that I done did wrong, they want their stuff back. All the people I done stole from, they want their stuff back, you know. They call the Mexicans illegal aliens. It's their land. You know, they took it, drew a line in the sand and said, if you cross this line now, you can't come over here no more. You know what I mean? And you just kicked him out of his house, you know. And the real alien is the people who's controlling the land. You know, it's amazing how they flip the script. You know what I'm saying? So they're worried. All these immigrants that are coming. Now, what we don't realize is why the immigrants are having so much trouble out there. Because we're over there stealing their stuff, making them think that we're their friends. That's why they come here. That's why they're looking for us, because they think that we are their friends and we got their best interests at heart, and we over there stealing their resources and everything else. People are coming here from all over the world, because we're all over the world disrupting their economies, taking their resources. You follow what I'm saying? And if they get here, their children become citizens if they're born here. And that tips the balance of the vote. Because the Europeans, the hate mongers, not all Europeans are hate mongers, but the ones that are hate mongers, they're a minority, such a small minority. And they would not be able to hold office if, you know, if we didn't allow them to, because we have power to vote. Okay, now we are reached a halfway point here. Okay, those of you who are on the line, just remember that you do have the all you have to do is push one on the dial and let me know that you have a comment or something to say. Okay, and we'll get right into that. But right now, what I'm going to do, I know I said I'm going to do the commercial, but I'm going to do the commercial. I see we got a hand. I'm right at commercial time. I'll be with you in just a minute. As soon as I run the commercial, unless you want to make a comment before I get into the commercial. But we have a whole half an hour. So don't hear Five Tribes radio presents. They're looking speaks at 8 to 9 p.m. for a lot of your time. The calling number is 516-453-9230. Press 1 if you want to give us a shout-out. Now, we're going to try to run the full gamut, the full show this week. On Monday, we want to do health. Tuesday, history. Wednesday, politics. Thursday, economics. Friday and Saturday, we're off. Now, we'll be on Mac show, you know, just give Mac a little support on Sunday, okay, on Saturday at 6 o'clock. On Sunday, we do religion, Toronto Church of Christ and the Law, TCCA, and we do something about the Bible every Sunday, okay? Because I am a Bible thumper, for those of you who don't realize, and I'm a Bible thumper. And when you do press one, we don't mention your last, we don't mention your name unless you want us to. We mention the last 4 digits of your phone number, and that's how you know that we're talking to you, okay? And I've released a gospel CD. That's how we support ourselves. For those of you who have bought the CD, I want to thank you so much. Gospel CD, 911 Jesus Emergency. And what I haven't been telling you is that the tones that are in the music, okay, if you listen to the music enough, will actually help release the 3 portions of your body that need to be united, the kundalini, the pituitary, and the other part that's in the middle. I don't know why I can't think of all 3 at the same time. But there's 3 glands that we use. One is at the back of the brain, base of the spine. One is in the middle of the brain. And one is at the bottom of your spine. It's called the pituitary. It'll come to me as I ever talk. And we're talking about the kundalini. Those 3 have to be united, and tones will help unite those, okay? Okay, we're also on CD. You can go to CD Baby, and just type in CD Baby /CD/ Elohim Christ #2. And you can just purchase 1 song, or you can purchase the whole album. It's up to you, okay? you can also catch me on YouTube. Just click in Christ, Elohim Christ 10 tracks, Jesus is Coming. And it will come up on YouTube. To ask yourself, when Jesus is coming back, where is he coming from? We think he's coming from the same place he came the first time, his mother. The goddess is a womb, okay? I call you God because I'm a Bible thumper. Psalm 82, you're all gods. That's what it says. Don't get mad at me for calling you a God. I'm a Bible thumper. So you sit out there, be mindful of what you're dumping. The child you dump might just be the one to get us out of this mess we're in. And boy, are we in a mess. So don't take our chance from us. We need those babies. And guys, it takes 2 to make them. It takes 2 to break them. It takes 2 to bring them up, okay? So you need to support the sisters with those children, okay? Don't forget to check out my book, Chronicle Scriptures, Part 2, A Christ Has Come. That will be on YouTube. It was supposed to be on YouTube already, but I haven't put it on YouTube. Not YouTube, but Amazon. That's supposed to go up on Amazon sometime this week. Bear with me, you'll be able to get the book, okay? Now, for more information, just call 215-758-1703 from 9 to 5 every day, Saturday and Sunday, and you'll be able to get more information about stuff that's going on. Also, I'm in the gold business. I do carry bars, buy and sell gold. If you want more information about that, just call me again at 215-758-1703, okay? And don't forget to visit my website, christelaim.com/website, and that will take you right to my website, okay? I would like to give a shout out to Horace Butler for his book, history book, When Rocks Cry Out. I like him because he understands our history and helps fill in the missing pieces, okay? And I'd like to give a shout out to Legacy of a Nation, hosted by Brother Mack and Son. It comes on every Saturday at 6 p.m. They talk about Black history, health, economics, and politics. And his whole mission in life is to make you aware that, man, you don't know everything, okay? If you tune in, you might learn something. I try to be there every Saturday myself, and I learn something every Saturday. If not from the show, but at least something that I learn about myself. But every Saturday from the show, I do learn something. That number is 319-527-6199, okay? I give a shout-out to Sister Tammy. That's Brother Will's sister. I don't know if you're familiar with what I am. I haven't heard from him in a while. I would like to for him to touch in sometime. She's on YouTube under Kamitra 11, okay? She has a spoken word, so just type in Kamitra 11, K-A-M-E-T-R-E 11. And she's just a spoken word, and you'll get some of the words that she speaks, and she speaks some pretty good words. I say so myself. I'd like to give a shout-out to Nikki Love Show. She's a spiritual advisor. She comes on YouTube. She's no longer on Blog Talk. And if you want more information about Nikki and if you want to learn something about the future, yeah, she's a good spiritual reader. You give her a call at 909-749-8626, okay? Also, I'd like to give a shout-out to Division 121 of Philadelphia. That's the UNIAACL. 1918-1929 of the world. They meet every week. For more information, you contact President Mark P. at UNIA 267-822-2323, okay? We also have the UAIA. They're offering land to build on in Africa. Now, that's very interesting, you know? So if you want some land, want to know how to get into Africa and get that land, from what I understand, you can build a brand new house over there from the ground up, land it off for about $5,000, which is not bad, you know. He's also designed clothes, buttons, and flags. So RBG Industries, they make designing clothes. And so if you want a nice tailor-made outfit, which I have four of them, and they fit pretty good, just give them a call at 609-638-5828, and I want to give a shout out to Save More Electronics. That's my son's company. Sticking my chest out. Calling number for him if you want some lights put in or some sockets or something ain't working right over there. Just give him a call at 215-909-3352 from 9 to 5, okay? And if you're into security, you need a job in security, just give brother a call at 336-988-8638. I'm going to have to call these numbers myself and make sure they're all working properly, okay? I would like to give a shout-out to Tom Thornton. He writes under the name Yesterday's Child. Actually, he helped do the harmony on my CDs, which is good. He has about eight CDs on the market right now. He goes under the name Yesterday's Child. You can call him at 267-259-4077. Maybe one Sunday I'll play a couple of his gospel tunes. He does gospel and do other stuff, too. I'd like to give a shout-out to Taylor Tots Learning Academy, LLC, licensed certified. She's a registered nurse who's currently in medical school. Sticking my chest out again. That's my daughter. That's my baby. And she'll soon be a doctor. Taylor Tots has a before and after school service in the West Philadelphia area. So for best quality children's service, call 610-638-5852. Let me do that again. 610-638-8352. From 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday, okay? Our email address is TaylorTotsLearningAcademy@gmail.com, okay? She has Instagram, TaylorTots_Tots_LA. I'm not that down with Instagram. I'm hard to read the address. I also like to give a shout-out to our residents and naturopathic doctors. We have Dr. Paul. His number is 215-779-7355, and Dr. Bill, his number is 61-561-3864. So if you're sick and you don't have these guys on speed dial, you need to be sick. No, I'm just kidding. Nobody needs to be sick. So just give these calls. Give guys a call, and don't worry. Just be happy or be well or don't be sick or however or whatever I'm trying to say there, okay? So that's our little commercial for the day. So now let's get back to the show. So what I'm going to do before we take on the next question, I'm going to open 1927's mic and get a chance to say something. The commercial took a little longer than usual because sometimes I get a little wordy. I apologize for that. 1927, your mic is open. How you doing?
Thank you, Brother Ibrahim. This is Brother Mac from Legacy of a Nation. I have a compound question, and I start with a definition of justice. I think that many of us may be wondering what is the difference, if there's a difference between justice and civil rights, and what is the difference between justice and human rights, and that I want to superimpose upon the question that you put forth regarding rioting. Does rioting get you justice? I'm old enough to remember the riots in 65.
The question was, does rioting stop police brutality? Okay, go ahead.
Indeed. Okay. All right. That is the question, and you answered it too, because you answered it with another question. If it did, why are we still experiencing police brutality? But I remember when Columbia Avenue, as it was named at that time, in 65, was torn apart in the Philadelphia riots, and I'm kind of amazed when I think that was more than 55 years ago, and Columbia Avenue never did come back. Columbia Avenue, which is now Cecil B. Moore Avenue, in these 55 years, it has not recovered to what it was at that time before the riots. It's interesting that the UNIA building at 16th and Cecil B. Moore now was there and is still there. But I guess what I'd like for you to do is expound on what is justice versus rights, versus civil rights versus human rights, and that will probably raise some more questions, because some of us feel that we achieved progress in that we had laws passed. Statutes and codes enacted that gave us benefits that we were not able to experience out loud before, but it's really interesting and somewhat puzzling when you point out that being a U.S. citizen gives you the rights built in that everyone who is a U.S. citizen is supposed to be privy to. And I don't want to go on, but you raise so many questions. I want to throw that compound question at you, and see if you might be able to enlighten me and some others who may have similar questions about whether or not rioting. Quells police brutality. I think I can profoundly say in no way does it. As a matter of fact, oh my goodness, and I'm going on and on because
you asked me about six questions so far. I'm trying to figure out where
you're going. I beg your forgiveness, but. There's so many questions in there, and I'll back off and let you answer one or more of them if you can, please.
Well, let's start with the first one. We're talking about justice, okay? When you talk about justice, you have to relate that to the word reciprocity, all right? So that means that if justice comes under the culture of reap what you sow, okay? Under the dog-eat-dog culture, there is no, the word justice don't exist. But under the reap what you sow culture, you're not supposed to be doing anything to somebody that you don't want done to you. And that's the problem. If I'm not stealing your stuff and you steal my stuff and the people that are supposed to be there to protect me let you get away with it, then that's not justice. So if I steal your stuff and the people lock you up and make you pay for the crime that you committed, then then I'm getting justice, okay? Because I'm getting reciprocity. I mean, I'm getting action under the culture of reap what you sow. Okay, so that's where justice comes in at. Now, in the Bible, it says that a crime, okay, should not be forgiven. Now, what's the difference between a crime and a sin? Okay, now a sin can be forgiven, but a crime can't. A crime requires justice because a crime is something that you do to hurt another person. Or to cause another person discomfort. A sin is when you're doing something to yourself. So when you self-inflict wounds and stuff on yourself, that can be forgiven. But when a crime is happening, that means you've inflicted something on somebody else. That cannot be forgiven. There should be some type of reciprocity in reference to the crime that you committed because you hurt me. And now that you've hurt me, you know, I don't want to do the revenge thing. I want the whatever's there that's supposed to be protecting me, I want that protection. And that's what's going on right now. And that's why we have the injustice, because I'm not being protected under the law that's on the book that's supposed to be protecting me. So you have crime, you have sin, and you have injustice, okay? So those three things come into play. Now, your rights as a human being or as a, your rights depend on who you are and what the culture that you're under determines who you are. Now, if the culture determines that you are a citizen of that particular culture, then all of the rights under that culture is supposed to be given to you. Now, if they consider you not a citizen, then you know you're not privy to the rights that goes with that. Now, you have human rights, okay, and you have rights given to you by the culture. I'm just going one at a time asking all these questions. You asked, if you bear with me for a minute, as a human being, see what I'm saying? what does that define you as? Okay. Now, now you have to look under the culture for their definition of what a human being is. And human beings have certain inalienable rights according to the Constitution. Right. Now, that's where the act of God comes in, because instead of saying inalienable, I'm going to say it this way. You have unalienable rights, rights that cannot be taken from you. According to the Constitution, if you're a human being and a United States citizen, okay, but you have to be both, all right, that way you have unalienable rights according to the Constitution. So that's what gives you your rights as a human being from the spiritual sense, from the godly sense, because this country was supposed to be set up based on the Bible, which means that you are recognized as a God. That's why your rights are unalienable. They cannot be taken from you as a human being or a God, you know, according to the Constitution. Okay. So with that, I think that that I went through three or four of the questions. Now, I do have a question myself. Now, in the Bible, right, it tells you what happens to you when you go from the godly structure, okay, to the human structure of a ruler or a king or a queen. All right. Now, I had it up here a minute ago. It just disappeared. Okay, here it is right here. Hold on. Let me bring it up. It says that in Samuel's, right, they wanted to have a king. And instead of having a king, instead of having God look out for them, they wanted a king to take care of their problems and reign over them. And it says here, right, and he said, this will be the manner of the king that reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariot. If you deal with the Secret Service and what's going on, they run beside the limousine to protect the ruler, right? And it says he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them tear his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. So this is what the Bible is telling me what happened when you're dealing with these rulers and what they're going to do, you know. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to cooks and to be bakers for him. And that's what's going on. He's controlling your, he's controlling your resources, and he's controlling your labor, all right? And it says, I mean, that's why I send my Bible from, because all this stuff that we're going through is right in here, but we're not reading it, and they're not telling us what's in it to our benefit. It says he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servant. That's what's going on right now. The best of what you have is going to him. Because they've set up an economic slavery system where they can pay for these things. They put prices on the stuff that the average person can't afford, but the rich can't afford, and his servants are benefited because he has the, because he has the money. And it says he will take a tenth of your seed and your vineyard and give it to his officials and to his servants. And that's what Trump did. He took the money, you know what I'm saying, through the taxes, and gave it to the gave it to his crew, to his people, and his servants are going to benefit from the money. It's telling you everything that's going on right now. You know, just like when they're talking, you're just supposed to be paying tithes. You're only supposed to be paying tithes if okay, if you're in a secular situation. That's when the tithes come in. And the church has not flipped the script. They got you paying tithes. And as you remember, they're supposed to be following Jesus. And Jesus didn't collect no money when he fed the people. He didn't collect no money when he healed the sick. He didn't collect no money for his speeches and all that. You know what I'm saying? But that's what they're doing. They're taking the secular rules and applying it to the spiritual rules in Jesus' name, and that's not how it's going to be. And it said, he shall cry out that day, that day because of your king, when you shall have chosen you, when he shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. So you're not going to get justice from the universe. That's when they say the Lord won't hear you. So that action and reaction thing ain't happening because they're under the dog-eat-dog culture. And when they start doing stuff, you're praying for them to change, and it ain't happening, you know? So I could go on and on, but there's more in here too, you know? So it's in the Bible what he's going to do to you when you have a ruler, when you have somebody over you. That's why President Hayes and them being Bible thumpers too, they put rules in the Constitution and the laws, okay, to protect you from the government. That's what the rules are for. The rules are not there to protect government. The rules are there to protect you from government, because they know how it gets when they know how people get when they get a little bit of power. They just go absolutely out of their doggone minds and think this is the way of things and this is how this thing is supposed to go, but it's not. That's why I'm telling people, do not put your Bible down. You know, read it from cover to cover, even if it takes the whole year. You read a couple of passages every day or something, you know what I mean? But get a better understanding. And I think that to get a better understanding of the book, you need to go into what's written in red that Jesus said. And if you read that, you'll have an awakening and you'll be able to see more things than what you're seeing at the particular time, okay? Now, what's wrong with focusing on education only? That'd be a question I'm throwing out there for you, Mac. What's wrong? That's the next question. What's wrong with focus on education only? Do you have anything to comment on about that?
Well, Brother Elim, if I understand your question, what would be wrong with focusing only on education would raise the question, who is educating whom? Who decides what education is? Who decides who the teachers are to be? Who decides what the teachers are to teach, and what is the purpose of the material that is edited to teach?
Well, a question with a question, but it doesn't matter. None of that matters. The thing is, it doesn't matter who's educating. The thing is, all we're talking about is education. So if you're educated, I don't care who you are, in a system. And whoever's educating you, right, when you graduate, right, you need work, you need a job, okay? So when you graduate from one of the black colleges, right, where do you go to get work? If all the corporations are owned by people that don't look like you and they're blacklisting you, what's the point of your education? I don't care who gave it to you. You see what I'm saying? The reason why I ask that question is because everything in a culture like this comes down to the dollars. So if you have to ask yourself, the children that are coming from the black colleges, how many have you hired the last 5 years? You personally, I haven't hired any. You know, I mean, when I was doing a lot, I did hire, you know, my payroll was like $5,000 to $8,000 a week. So I did hire some people. I wasn't concerned whether they came from a black school or a white school. It didn't make any difference. I just wanted somebody that could do the job. So the thing about it, we have to focus on economics as well. We only got about 60 seconds here, Mac. Why don't you give me one more shout-out about your show on Saturday and then we're going to close out.
Thank you, Brother Elohim. Rather than give a shout out, let me give a shout out for the wonderful work that you're doing. You raised questions that I would not have had any reason to think about.
We got 5 seconds.
All right. If I have 5 seconds, thank you, Brother Elohim, for being there for us.
We're not off the air. 5 seconds. That 60 seconds go quick. I want to thank you, Brother Knight, for being there for me, and I really appreciate it. And it's good to hear that you're doing so well. And I, as a friend of mine, say I appreciate you, man. I know we're out of time and we're not streaming. I do like to do this while we're streaming, but I want to give a closing assertion. I have walked the path as divine energy today and did not break the universal law of reap what you sow. All energy went out for a divine purpose, and I will reap what I have sown this day. All that I have put out, I eagerly embrace its return. So let it be written, so let it be done. I'll see you guys next week. Much love.
Much love.